Hello, this is Kinch Rendell with your business podcast, helping you find freedom through your own business, whether it be a full-time business, something that starts as a side business, or consulting. This is a book review of a great little book I've now read twice, even better the second time, I'd say. It's The Go-Giver, a little story about a powerful business idea by Bob Berg and John David Mann. This book is written in, I guess, kind of like a novel format. They make up a story to go around these lessons. They have five laws of stratospheric success. The first one, the law of value. Your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. And this would determine how valuable you are to other people. The second law, the law of compensation. Your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So this would determine how much you actually do earn or you actually are going to make. The third law is the law of influence. Your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. The law of authenticity is number four. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And the fifth law, the law of receptivity. Receptive. How receptive are you? The key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. They do a very good job, I would say, in this. It's, once again, an easy read. The book itself on Amazon, Kindle edition, will cost you $12.99. The hardcover, $17.11. And you can get some used ones for less than that, plus shipping. So I think I read it first a month or two ago, probably a suggestion of either like a Tai Lopez or a James Altucher, as I believe one of their top 10 books. And let me tell you, it does not disappoint. When I looked around a little bit on the internet, I believe there's some free versions, but I don't think it's by these guys. So it might be a different story tying these five laws together. And once again, it's the law of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. So let's get in with some of the thoughts and some of the quotes from the book. Let's start with, typically, the more success they have, the more willing they are to share their secrets with others. And they're talking about successful people. So the premise in the book is, this guy's a insurance salesman, agent, and he's not doing too well. And he finds out that, oh, look, I can go and ask this guy to help me make some connections, basically, to get a big deal for my end of quarter. And he's actually blown away to hear and to find out that people that are successful are very willing to help other people succeed. So I think they're very willing to be mentors to help other people. Back to a quote, lesson, find successful mentors via books, blogs, actually not from the book, for me, books, blogs, YouTube, or in real life when you can. So literally, maybe you can't afford to go and pay somebody to be your mentor, which people that have a lot of money do a lot of this. I was just finishing my Shailene Johnson's course, and she mentioned how for 10 or 15 years she had listened to somebody, read all his books, before she could have finally decided to or could afford to pay him to be a mentor, to be a coach, to be somebody on her team wanting to see her succeed. So challenge yourself to think, how can I find these successful people? And so often nowadays, it's YouTube. I mean, I think of Joel Salatin, literally. I can go out there and watch videos, and he will tell me exactly what he's done to be successful. I can buy his book for 10 or 15 bucks and learn how he did his farm, how he brought it up, reasons why he does what he does. Back to the book. But to get really, really big, to reach the kind of stratospheric success we're talking about, people need to have something on the inside, something that's genuine. So literally, that's another thing they point out is let your genuine side come out. Let your passions come out. If you're into something that you really are passionate about, you'd be much more likely to give. Once again, the book is named The Go-Giver, as you need to give, give, give. So lesson here is let your genuine show, let your inspiration and interest show those, speak about those, tell those to people, let people know things. You have to take some action of some kind in all these arenas. The secret of giving, give more value than people pay for. In business, you must give before you receive. You must make and save money before you profit from money. So you have to go out there and give something. You have to create your product, create your blog, create your videos, create your YouTube channel, and give. You have to go out there and give lessons to people, offer your services before you're going to get. They quote in the book, they basically say, hey, you don't expect to get heat from a fire until you put the logs in there. You have to give. Back to the book. So you're saying successful people keep their focus on what they're giving and what they're sharing. Most of us have grown up seeing the world as a place of limitation rather than a place of inexhaustible treasures, a world of competition rather than one of co-creation. So they talk about quite a few examples in the book of these beliefs we have that really aren't true. They're basically limiting beliefs. Working together will get you much further than if you think, oh, it's all competition. This reminds me that James Altucher says, when he was in business, he wanted to know all the other business owners that were in the same business that was his competition. He actually realized those might be the people that would buy him out, that become his partners at some point, or become his exit from the business. So start looking at the world differently, and the world you look at is different. The opportunities are there. A great quote, here's what you do get. You get what you expect. So once again, what you're expecting to find is what you will find. So make sure you have positive expectations for yourself, for others, as well as for outcomes. Expect the best. Expect that eventually you'll be successful. Expect that you will see the opportunities. Find the mentors from the book. Or put it another way, what you focus on is what you get. Continuing on, go looking for the best in people, and you'll be amazed at how much talent, ingenuity, empathy, and good you'll find. Once again, change your outlook to change the outcome. Look for the positives and the opportunities you want, and you're much more likely to find them. Change the negative outlooks into positive ones. For myself, I really am pretty good now at catching when I have some kind of negative thought or negative memory or something I want to deal with that's negative and going, whoa, this is not helpful at all. Get back and read a book. Listen to a podcast. Go and create a podcast. Be positive. And if I was going out there to make some sales calls, I'd want to make sure I'm in a positive mood, whether I just watch a YouTube video or something funny, something to get me positive once again, because I really do believe that my attitude will definitely affect what I will see opportunity-wise or what I will notice. I like this quote from the book, "The world treats you more or less the way you expect to be treated." You got to have that positive attitude that, hey, I'm going to be treated the way I want to be treated. Enough, I guess, self-worth and self-belief to be treated the way you want to be treated. This part of the book, we're referring to the law of compensation. We'll be giving some quotes here or some readings. I need you to agree that you will test every law I should show you by actually trying it out. So as part of the story goes, this guy gets invited to actually meet this guy. He thinks he's going to ask for help on closing an insurance deal. And this very successful guy is willing to show him things. But a condition here is everything he shows him each day of the 5 days, he needs to implement it that day, or else he should not come back the next day. And the point to this is, we can have all this knowledge, but it does no good if we don't implement it. Or let's say I've realized I'm learning enough that I can't implement it all. I can't take advantage of every opportunity out there. So I feel like I will share that with people via the podcast, via in person, via emails. I drop people notes all the time now, like, hey, I learned about this. If you're interested, let me know. We'll get together and discuss it. So just reading for reading is great, but it's not really helpful for anybody until you take action. So this part of the book was literally, he's willing to teach him and show him things, but he wants him to implement it. How would you create a habit? You have to take some action over and over again. So I thought that was a great point here, that in the story, they're like, hey, you can only do this if you take action. And the guy literally doesn't know, how am I going to implement all these things? Can I really do that? And at times, even when he forgets, he actually did implement it, which will be interesting when we get to this later. Taking action and applying something you learned is the only way to change your life and your future. And habits are only formed when you take the action. So some quotes, the guy radiates success, he thought. It's not just money, it's something more, far more powerful than money. A very useful thing to remember, appearances can be deceiving. So here they're talking about, you may see somebody that's a chef at a restaurant. He might be somebody that owns 4 or 5 restaurants or lots of commercial space. I mean, the story is great. It's a very easy read. And literally they point out these things as they go through the story and introduces him to somebody different, I think 4 of the 5 days. Success. People are radiating it. And they get to, why do they radiate it? They're givers. They're out there. They're excited. They're passionate. I can tell you from personal experience, it seems like the best thing I have going for me when I speak at Toastmasters is my passion. Everybody's like, wow, your passion shows. Maybe it's because I talk fast. I'm almost always talking about something I care about, pretty much always. Some good little quotes here. Everyone likes to be appreciated, and that's the golden rule of business. All things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. So if you have a restaurant and you appreciate your customers, is where this came from in the book. All things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. Let me remind you of something I've realized for myself. If people like you, know you, and trust you, but they don't know what you do or what you're looking for, they can't refer anything to you. This is part of the book later on. You have to be open to receive, and you have to tell people what you want to receive often. Otherwise, they don't know. They have no clue. This tying back into the restaurant again was several good paragraphs here. A bad restaurant tries to give just enough food and service, both in quantity and quality, to justify the money it takes from the customer. A good restaurant strives to give the most quantity and quality for the money it takes. But a great restaurant strives to defy imagination. Its goal is to provide a higher quality of food and service than any amount of money could possibly pay for. And this reminds me of a dinner conversation last night. They say when you go to Walt Disneyland or World, you are blown away at all the employees, how nicely they treat you. And they're talking about, nowhere else do you get this. And I said, hey, what about Chick-fil-A? And this couple goes, oh yeah, actually, yeah. The same thing. It's just amazing how all the workers are different. You're getting better service than you think you have paid for or that you should get. Can you apply that if you have a restaurant or anything else? Better service. Do a little bit more. Always a little bit more than might be expected. I can tell you, in our web hosting company, we tell people we don't actively manage your servers, but we go out of our way to help them if they have problems. So it's not something we are saying we'll give them, but we make sure we do. We help them. If we help them solve some problem, which often randomly we do, they don't forget that. And we've had several people that have left and said, we'll come back as soon as we start another business. And they have. Give that extra. You may not be required to or be saying that you will, but take those extra steps. I had to put this one in bold. Your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. That's a good deal. That's when people think they're getting a great deal for your service, your product, whatever it is. Your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Some questions they have here. The first question should be, does it serve? Does it add value to others? If the answer to that question is yes, then you can go ahead and ask, does it make money? So before you want to even try to start a business, let's say, who's it going to serve, and is it going to serve enough people to make it worthwhile? And honestly, if it's a residual income type business where people pay every month, maybe you only need 100 customers. So does it serve? Is it going to add value? Can you advertise and let people know very clearly what value that's adding? And after you know that those two questions are answered, then you can say, how would I make this make money? What price would I have to offer this at? What's the competition doing? Can it make money for me? Some more great little quotes down here or sections. Exceed people's expectations and they'll pay you even more. But the point isn't to have more of them, to have them pay you more. It's to give them more. You give, give, give. Why? Because you love to. It's not a strategy. It's a way of life. And when you do, he added with a big grin, then very, very profitable things begin to happen. And that's what I really think people are doing these days. Online, they are giving, giving, giving. They're giving away lots of advice, free content, videos, how-tos, free webinars, and it's free. They might have something on the back end where you can pay them. And what people keep saying is, if you just give content, give content, give content, people want to find a way to pay you, especially if they are profiting from what they got from you. Let's say you have some YouTube channel or a book or something or blog, and you have all this information, and you teach me how to, let's say I'm interested in fixing tractors. You teach me how to fix old Ford tractors, and I start fixing Ford tractors. I will probably want to compensate you. I know I personally would want to. If it's something else where you're teaching me how to be a successful person in business, and I start a business and I get a little bit of success and I have enough money, or let's say you're just rich, you will probably come to me and say, I want to pay you for your time to be my coach, to have it where I can call you for an hour, 2 or 3 hours a week. But how do you get that? You have to give first. You have to let people know. You have to be willing to put it out there first. Of course, where does that start at? It starts with you had to have realized you're an expert in something. you've read up enough of something, or you already have experiences in this world in something. And guess what? No matter what that is, you can have a niche now on the internet because so many other people care about so many small things and passions and hobbies. It's amazing. Recently, I've gone out there and researched what a Pine Derby race car, which is a little block of wood with nails for axles and wheels for Cub Scouts, is. People sell the nails polished for like $8 a piece on eBay. It is crazy all the sites dedicated to these things. I bet some people just pay the $7 per little nail to get those. What they do, they first went there and created the site and gave away free content. Gave away how this works, why it works, and why is it a better deal. Back to a reading. All the great fortunes in the world have been created by men and women who had a greater passion for what they were giving, their product, service, or idea, than for what they were getting. The key, I think, to this is passion. You're more likely to give. It's something you care about or something you want to see grow in the world or something you're going to see that helps other people. I personally think in a permaculture. There's a lot of people out there in the permaculture world that are putting up videos and how-tos and free things because they want to help other people succeed. They want to help people feed themselves in a healthy way that also helps, let's say, the earth. If it's your passion, you'll be so much more likely to be okay with the thought of, I'm going to give and give and give, and not so much worry about the backside of keeping score of, am I getting back? How much am I making? And the whole key they keep saying is to give, to put it out there, to give. Now, I do believe you have to have opportunities to be receiving, like you need to have a way for people to pay you for something, whether it's consulting, coaching, anything. You need to be open on that side. But at first, what is it? What can you follow out there from yourself that you would just give? Passions. What would it be? The thought of helping people. I mean, that's literally what keeps me going, is that a few people go, wow, I really appreciate you doing that. That really helped. That may be enough for you. You may not even have a clue or need to make the money on the back end, but eventually you keep doing that and it will happen. The law of value. Your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Once again, it's a good deal. You know what pushes your buttons for it. That seems like a good deal. At this point, we're to the law of compensation. True worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Just realize that. Everything becomes valuable once. What somebody's paying, they see, is much less. And if you're passionate about something, you're more likely to give. We're back to, once again, the first law determines how valuable you are. Your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. Or to put it another way, your compensation is directly proportional to how many lives you touch and the impact you make on those lives. So if you're trying to make money, more money, it comes down to how many people can you serve? I mean, this is obvious to most of us in business. Literally, my partner and I are like, well, how do we get more sales? That's what everybody wants to ask, right? It's by giving and getting out there in front of more people. Some ways I noted here, how do you attract more customers? So many businesses these days realize if they've been established for a long time, they may not have any content, free content on YouTube. They may never have documented their process for their service and put it out as an ebook for people that want to do it themselves that can't afford it. Not realizing that if they put out there what they do and how they do it, if they're good at it, people are going to pay them to do it. I just read the book about growth hacking strategies. Go out there and look at how you build in attracting more customers through your offering. Literally with Dropbox, the point was, hey, if you refer somebody, we'll give you extra storage space with Dropbox. They said that was better than spending all the money on marketing advertising. So there's lots of ways for you to learn and implement of how you can reach more people. And it might be as simple as you're a coach. You start recording what you've coached other people on and you put it out there on YouTube and you create an ebook about it. And that way you don't have to work. You're basically at a residual type income, a passive income. You did it once. You do have to put the work in, but then it repeats. You can serve more people that way. If you want more success, find a way to serve more people. It's that simple, the book says. It also means that there are no limitations on what you can earn because you can always find more people to serve. And realize with the internet, it's just reaching more and more people. More and more people are online each and every year. the possibilities are out there if you realize it and look for them and go, how else can I improve? That's one thing I'm always thinking about. How else can we put out a new video? What else can we put a video out about? How can we get out there in front of more people? If you're a personal coach, you can reach more people once again by simply recording yourself, making an online webinar or an online series of videos and documents people fill out. I love something I heard recently where literally a coach always had the same onboarding process to bring in new people. In reality, they said, I should just record a video, a really good video of doing this, and it ended up saving them 15 hours a week. Because it had taken 3 hours for a new person bringing them on board, and they have five people coming in each week, 15 hours a week. A quote from the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. The key being serving other people. Everybody can be successful because anybody can give is another way to say that. The law of compensation. Your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. Some of these tasks that the person in the book enjoyed more than others, however she approached each one of them as though she loved it, she did this by reminding herself that, regardless of how much or how little she cared for the task itself, she relished the opportunity to survive, serve, and save. So this point in the book, it's where this lady is basically, she's also being mentored, and she's making coffee because she's really good at making coffee, and then she starts to set up her own coffee business, and she realizes that some of the tasks like cleaning the coffee filters or the coffee machine, she may not love that part, but she's thinking about the end goal. And realize in business, there's so many times that a bunch of these little things we don't really want to do. They may not be fun. That's where you need to focus on the end goal. Who are you serving? How much will they appreciate that? Even how much will you appreciate having your own business, your own side income, and hopefully your own freedom to only work for yourself is what I would say. And they repeat, survive, save, and serve. You've got to do a lot of little things sometimes to survive. You got to do all the legwork up front, even if it's a passive income business. You still have to do a lot to create that passive. In the case of us, it took us probably 7 years letting the business grow and put the money back into the business to get to the point that it paid out. To the book, there are three universal reasons for working. Survive to meet your basic living needs. Save to go beyond your basic needs and expand your life. And serve to make a contribution to the world around you. Each of us is in a different place there. You need to figure out, are you in survival mode? Are you in saving mode? Are you in serving mode? How can you combine all of those? I like to say that if you have your own business, it provides your survival and enough to save while you're serving people. And maybe even outside that, you're donating money to other things that you really care about, serving in a bigger fashion there. Reading again. Changing my focus from seeing what I could get to what I could give was when my career started to take off. Started to, but in a business like mine actually, in any business, you also need to know how to develop a network. So here's where he starts pointing out that you need a network. And coming back to exactly what they say, I don't necessarily mean your customers or clients. I mean a network of people who know you, like you, and trust you. Once again, this may be friend, spouse, maybe some coach you're paying. It may be a group on the internet that wants to see you succeed. But it's almost, I keep thinking of an accountability partner or several of them. Someone that has your back, they say. And somebody that you hopefully feel the same about. Can you have an accountability partner? You're helping them grow while they're helping you grow. They're keeping you accountable. Something recently I got into was trying to help somebody. He's like, okay, what can I give to you? So I had to think of something like, oh yeah, what are you an expert in? Or what are your skills? And literally it comes down to something as simple as teaching my kids to ski. Or as he would say, to love to ski. So someone that has my back in some respect and I have theirs. Just realize you want to surround yourself with the good people that are going to support you. If you have somebody in your life, whether it's a parent, a sibling, that downs your ideas, you probably don't need to share all your goals and dreams with them, unfortunately. I mean, I somewhat had that in my father that he would be like, you just need to stick with your Riptide, stick with your computer businesses. You know computers. He'd always say, I don't do that. I'm an accountant. I do numbers. To me, he was limiting himself. Of course, he enjoyed what he was doing, but he also projected that to me. So in reality, I knew I should call my mom when I had some new idea that might be a little bit crazy or a little bit out there. I knew where to go get support. So catch yourself. If you always know that somebody's going to down your idea, if their constructive criticism doesn't help you, or if their ideas and suggestions don't help you, go somewhere else. Find that group of people, whether it's online or in real life, that will support you. And make yourself accountable to them and find out how you can help them. How can you encourage them? I can't tell you how important that is to realize people have your back. Or at least to think, hey, if I try this and I fail, I'm not going to be out on the streets. That somebody will take me in, somebody will help me, that will help you even take the steps to try things sometimes. From the book, they might never buy a thing from you, but they've always got you in the back of their minds. They're people who are personally invested in seeing you succeed. And of course, that's because you're the same way about them. They're your army of personal walking ambassadors. An army, not just one. So can you get two or three or four or five people? Can you create a mastermind that you get together with once a month, once a week? Can you find one that's already established? People are going to be like, hey, so what's the latest? What'd you do? We'll encourage you to do things and to know that people are also going through the same things you're going through. And that's where the mentors really help. If they've already gone through that, they know what you're going through. They know that it gets really hard at times to keep going. They already know that if they've gone through it. Benefits are immense. Reading some more. You want to know what makes this kind of network happen? Stop keeping score. Just that. Don't keep track. That's not networking. That's poker. You know how people say win-win? Always look for the solution where you both come out ahead. This can apply, and they point this out in the book later. This can apply to your personal life, your friendships. You have a spouse. Are you keeping score? Are you saying, okay, I will help you for an hour if you help me for an hour. I will help you that with one thing if you'll help me with one thing. They point out how that just, it's poker. I love that. It's not life. It's not really being giving. It's not networking. It's poker. Give me a deal for a deal. No. In the story, it even goes that he gives away something. One of the lessons here was to give something. Well, he gave away a lead. Of course, he came back to help him later on. So win-win. Can you find ways to have a win-win instead of keeping score? And literally, I'm applying this to personal life, relationships, things that are challenging. What would be the win-win of something that I think is negative? What would be a win-win here? Do that with people. Something else it reminded me of was if you have somebody in the back of your mind. So once again, I'm getting very good at when I read something, read a new book, read a new concept, I stop, I go, wow, that applies to her. I'm going to email her this. Or, hey, I've got a free copy of a book. I'm going to email this to this person because I think they might want to write a book. That makes a big difference. People are like, wow, he thought about me. Well, in reality, I think about lots of things all day long and lots of people and how they apply to each other. I just have never taken the step, or I haven't taken the step as often to say, I'm going to email them. I'll send it. I'll send them an email. I'll send them an invite. I'll invite them to dinner. I'll invite them to lunch. I'll ask them the questions. It's crazy how simple this seems if you can make yourself take that action. Do you know something that would help somebody else or encourage somebody else? Send them an email. Send them a text. Let them know. With your significant other. I mean, I can apply this to me. Do more of that with my wife during the day. It's taking that action step, as always, which I've said so many times in the first year or two of this podcast. Go take some action. Take some action. In this case, take some action to share something with somebody else. That helps build your network. Build your personal walking ambassadors, your army of the personal walking ambassadors. People that will think of you then because you kept thinking of them. And once again, not keeping score. I would be A-okay if I send somebody 10 things and got nothing back. Because eventually I'm betting if I send people 10 ideas, they're going to think of me for something. If they know what I'm interested in, they're going to want to help me out. And if not, they're not part of my tribe. They don't have my back. That's okay. Eventually you move on. But just keep giving, giving, giving. Back to reading a paragraph here. That's right. And it sounds great in theory, but most of the time what people call win-win is really just a disguised way of keeping track, making sure that we all come out even, that nobody gets the advantage, even Steven. I scratched your back, so now you owe me. When you base your relationships in business or anywhere else in life on who owes who what, that's not being a friend, that's being a creditor. And literally, are you being a creditor in your life, in your relationships? And they go on to say, you want to know the third law of stratospheric success? Watch out for the other guy. Watch out for his interests. Watch his back. Forget about 50-50. 50-50 is a losing proposition. The only winning proposition is 100%. Make your win about the other person. Go after what he wants. Forget win-win. Focus on the other person's win. So you're offering some service or advice. If you're a business coach, let's say, make sure they know you're invested in their win. Go above and beyond, ensure it if you can. And they'll be your fan. They'll be your supporter. They'll be part of your army. Repeating the third law of influence, your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interest first. If your customers feel like you really have their interest, they're going to keep being your customers. One of the podcasts I listened to recently, the guy said he tears out magazine articles and mails them to his customers. And be like, oh yeah, on this trip to so-and-so, I was thinking about you. He said it's amazing how if I'm, let's say I'm off at a conference, and I think of somebody specifically and take some notes of it, of something, let's say random, not even tied to the conference, and send it to them, they'd be like, wow, he's thinking of me. That's when people realize, wow, they're more important than just an acquaintance or somebody you know. I do this with friends. I send them little notes like, hey, you want to come do this? You want to do that? Have you heard about this? Hey, you're looking to go into business in this realm? Hey, this auction has this for sale. And it starts to build that, you know, just more than just, oh, yeah, that's a friend of mine. Oh, no, that's a friend of mine that wants to see me succeed is what it becomes. And that's what I think, that once again, there's an abundance out there when we start connecting the dots and connecting the relationships, connecting and making the networks. What creates influence, they say? Putting other people's interest first, helping, encouraging, and teaching. Your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Influence. I have influence over you only if you trust me. Why are you going to trust me? Because I've helped you in some way, or I've taught you something that's been helpful, or I've encouraged you to take the steps that have made you successful, or helped in some small way. I like this point they get to. Givers attract. They love to give. That's why they're attractive. Givers attract. And that's why the law of influence works, because it magnetizes you. So the more good stuff you give, and I just keep thinking back to Toastmasters. When I speak about things that have influenced me or that I think are positive, it's like I'm a magnet. Like people that care about that or resonate with those thoughts, they're attracted to me. I'm sharing something I'm passionate about, something they relate to and go, wow, that is cool. Oh, wow, you gave me a book about this. This is a helpful book for me personally. I had a lady, one of the books I've got to review is Mindset. Mindset. A lady at Toastmasters read it twice in like a week or two. She said, this is so good. So literally, by having kind of a pseudo book club, you attract other people that like the books you like, that are on the same wavelength or vibrational area there. Magnetizes you. So givers attract. The more you give, make sure you're giving what you want to receive also. You want help, give help. You want other good ideas, give good ideas. Give, 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 and that's how you attract. That's what they point out over and over again. Just makes you keep thinking about the law of attraction. And they call it the law of influence here. So this part of the book, he has to, once again, every single day, he needs to implement this lesson. And this is where he has an interaction with his wife, where basically, I guess, every day they can come home from work, and for 30 minutes, one talks, and for 30 minutes, the other one talks. And he's reminded that's a 50-50 proposition. So this night, he tells his wife after 30 minutes, she goes, oh, my time's up. He goes, no, go ahead, go ahead. And he wasn't keeping score anymore. He let her talk for the whole hour and never said anything. She actually fell asleep crying. And he didn't realize until the next day that he actually gave. He gave extra. He wasn't keeping score. He wasn't doing 50-50. He wasn't trying to make everything equal. And realize, if you know what things are equal and not equal, you're probably keeping track and keeping score. You're basically judging. And if it's not helpful, and most likely it's not, you need to start noticing that and stopping it. So let's not think 50-50. Think 100%. I'm going to put 100% in. You may only give me back 50. You do that for quite a while. If the other person never gives back, okay, something changes. But otherwise, try to, especially in business. You give 100% above and beyond. The law of authenticity, a generally sound business principle, will apply anywhere in life, in your friendships, in your marriage, anywhere. That's the true bottom line. Not whether it simply improves your financial balance sheet, but whether it improves your life's balance sheet. The next reading is going to come from a point where the successful guy giving all this advice, he's going to explain why he believes his marriage has been successful. He says, I believe there is one reason and only one reason that we have stayed together so long and are as happy together today as we were 48 years ago. More so, in fact. That reason is this. I care more about my wife's happiness than I do my own. All I've ever wanted to do since the day I met her is make her happy. And here's the truly remarkable thing. She seems to want the same thing for me. And what this tells me, what I take from this is, if you have a relationship with somebody, or whether it's business or a love relationship or a friendship, if you want to see them succeed and they want to see you succeed, it's going to work. It's going to be positive. It's all positives there. Once again, you're not keeping score. You're putting 100% into what you can for them, and they would do the same for you. They've got your back. The next part of the book is a scenario where a lady who's gone through the same 5-day process of being introduced to all these different laws. Well, she's actually speaking at a conference that the guy, that both the successful guy and the mentee are at. And she starts off by recounting when she was a down and broken out real estate agent who was not being successful. And so much of this book is so good with the different stories that you can actually remember after the fact. So I'm going to read some of these and interject at times to tell you what I took from this. Importance of adding value to what you sell. That's what she heard sitting there. Whatever it is you sell, whatever it is, you can excel by adding value. If you need money, add value. If you need a lot of money, add a lot of value. She said when she was sitting there the first time, when she was down and out and broke, she raised her hand and said, what if you need a lot of money fast? The answer was, then find a way to add a lot of value fast. Once again, people pay for value. People, I've realized now, spend more money on coaching than I had ever fathomed. I guess I realized that people would pay somebody like Tony Robbins millions of dollars per year because they make lots of money. I've heard him say that. But I've realized in the past year, I've spent over $10,000 on conferences and coaching to learn, to be inspired. So they're saying, how do you add value? People will pay for value, whether it's coaching, a product, something that'll make them healthy, something that'll make them happy. What can you offer them? Something that helps their business. What could it be for you? What is it for you? And how can you add more value? Going back to what she's saying when she was speaking, she said she learned something that day. When I said that my life as a mom, wife, and house manager left me with nothing the marketplace wanted, I was wrong. There was something else I'd learned over those years, and that was how to be a friend, how to care, how to make people feel good about themselves. And that, my friends, is something the marketplace wants very much. Always has, always will. That reminds me of how they say people always remember how you made them feel. So she's a down and broke single mom, actually. She became a single mom and real estate agent. And she didn't think she had anything to offer. But in reality, even being a mom, she says, how to make people feel good about themselves, how to help her kids feel good about themselves, she could make other people do that. She goes back to recount when she was sitting in the seats as a attendee. The speaker at that symposium had said, add value. I had nothing to add but myself, and apparently that was exactly what I'd been missing. So she recounts in the story that she learned all these different closing techniques and all these ways to get people to sign on the dotted line, or sign on the solid line to buy a house or buy some real estate. And she wasn't successful at it. I think she said in the story she hadn't sold anything because she was trying all this stuff. She wasn't adding herself. She wasn't being her. So let's continue with what she says. I'm here because I have the awesome responsibility and honor of selling you something far more valuable than a house. What I'm here to sell you on is you. You can take that and realize that it can be very deep. Can I sell you on you? Can I give you the confidence? Can I let you know that, yes, you can be successful? For some of you, it's going to be listening to somebody like me or seeing some friend of yours that's successful, and it finally hits you. They're no brighter than me. They have no magic pixie dust that made them successful. It wasn't just chalked up to something called luck. That person was lucky they started doing that then. They weren't lucky. They're just a little bit crazier than you. They took the step. So how can you make other people see the value in themselves? Come back to read. People, remember this. No matter what your training, no matter what your skills, no matter what area you're in, you are your most important commodity. The most valuable gift you have to offer is you. Especially if you're speaking. If you're out there interfacing with people, whether you're a sales guy or once again a speaker, an author, you got to sell your experiences, your knowledge. You can definitely learn techniques of how to do that better. But start realizing inside it's you. You've got something to give, something unique. And something I'm taking back or realizing more and more. Some of these people I'm reading and following, they are sharing their innermost secrets and shortcomings, things they failed at. And then I take that and I tell people at Toastmasters, some of my friends there, and we start realizing, oh yeah, we really want to help people kind of share these stories because the more we share, the more they share, the more they're willing to share. And that's what people want to pay for. Have you been divorced? Were you trampled upon? Did somebody treat you really badly? Other people can relate to that. Those are the real stories, the real you, what you've really been through. Let's come back and read some more. Reaching any goal you set takes 10% specific knowledge or technical skills. 10% max, she says. The other 90% plus, the 90 plus percent is people skills. I can imagine real estate agents, as in the case of this example in the book, I would say so. You have to have the knowledge, but a bunch of the knowledge probably goes over the head of most people that you're going to sell to. And you got to find out what that person that's buying a house wants. How do you sell them on what they really want? Do you help them shore up their idea of what they're really looking for? What's going to work out best for them? Reading some more. The core of it is who you are. It starts with you. As long as you're trying to be someone else or putting on some act or behavior someone else taught you, you have no possibility of truly reaching people. The most valuable thing you have to give people is yourself. No matter what you think you're selling or what you're really offering is you. Because what you're really offering is you. You as a friend, you as a husband, you as a wife. Offer up the true you, the you that cares the most. Reading some more. You want people skills, she repeated? Then be a person. Can you do that? Will you do that? Be a person. Be real. Don't be some trained salesperson that just knows what to say. Be you. Be caring. And then she goes on to say, it's worth 10,000 times more than all the closing techniques that ever have been or ever will be invented. It's called authenticity. And they're basically what they've just done is told you about the law of authenticity. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. Come back to how can you offer yourself more? If you have good knowledge, good insights, good stories, whether they're heart-wrenching, whether they're really hard for you, but you want to kill yourself, but you realize somebody helped you not to, or this is what you found that saved your life, share that. Be authentic. Put that out there. Write a small book. A lady recently from the Facebook group Choose Yourself, she put out like, I don't know, a 28-page book talking about things that seem horrific to me that just don't seem real because I didn't have her life. But she was willing to share that out there and to say, hey, I came from this. This is how bad off I was in life. And now I feel so much better. I'm happy. I'm married. I think she has a kid. She's being authentic. She's taken the brave steps of actually writing some things and sharing them and showing her true authentic self, which has got to be so much more helpful than never speaking about that. I mean, how many people will maybe now realize, oh, wow, you had that kind of background and you're this successful now? Wow, that means I could be successful as well? That's what I've seen over and over again in some of these people that are successful, is they share some of their secrets that they've held in forever. And once they express that, they realize, wow, this is helping so many other people. So be authentic. Next law in the book they cover is the law of receptivity. Hopefully I can halfway say that. Being receptive. And this really hit me because I'm so much better at giving. I mean, think how many people have not only heard this, but really internalized it and believe it. It's better to give than to receive. I probably have really taken that to heart and really believe that to be the case. It's better to give than to receive. In so many ways, I'd much rather give something than receive something. Big time. But how can there be any giving if there's no receiving? There can't be. So there has to be a receive open. And more than likely, all of us can work on that in some level. Being open. Being open to say, if somebody called me and said, hey, I want to pay you for coaching or pay you for some expertise in something. I've thought of so many things I've been trained in and know about. I thought, oh, I won't charge you. I'll just come and do that for free. That doesn't make the other person feel that good. They're trying to give you something. Whether it's money or something else, they want to give. It makes them feel good. So that's what really encourages me to actually receive. It's thinking about, it's giving them the opportunity to give. The most successful people, I think of Bill Gates for some odd reason, billions of dollars he's received. What did he give? He's given lots of opportunities through software. He had to be willing to receive. I wonder, I mean, could you take a scenario like that and say, nope, I'm not taking your money. Had he never taken in the money, he couldn't have hired more people. He couldn't have been given salaries to those people. So it's really hitting me more and more to be open to receiving. I mean, literally this past week when somebody was like, oh yeah, I'll give your kids the free skiing lessons. I'll teach them to love to ski. Most of me want to say, no, don't give me anything. As I do mastermind dinners, I'm like, no, I'll pay. I don't want you to pay. I am trained to give. But that doesn't give them the opportunity to give themselves. And then do they feel like they owe me? So being open to receive so that they don't have that keeping score, let's say, going back to the book, trying to make it 50-50 or trying to make it you owe me. I realize that some people may just be keeping score. I might be doing it myself and going, I want to make sure I don't owe you. I want to make sure if anything that I don't owe, because I don't want to be having to keep score and go, I owe you something. I mean, that's why some of us do that. Some of us make sure we only give and not receive. Read a bit more here. It's not better to give than to receive. It's insane to try to give and not receive. Trying not to receive is not only foolish, it's arrogant. When someone gives you a gift, what gives you the right to refuse it, to deny their right to give? In fact, every giving can only happen because it is also a receiving. Literally, it doesn't work any other way. So be more open to receiving. Does somebody offer you something? Do they offer you help? I guess I can say here, I've offered people help, and I've been perplexed when they don't take me up on it. I'm like, oh, you want a website for your business? Okay, you come over here, bring some photos, we will upload and make you a one-page website. And people don't do it. And now I'm sitting there wondering, do people not trust me? Do they not trust that somebody will give? And that might be very true, that some people may not even be open to the opportunities that are in front of them. They may not even realize that there are people that are somewhat successful or are very successful that are willing to mentor, take their time, take their money, take their efforts, and put them into people. This reminds me of Shailene Johnson, who I just listened to a lot of yesterday. She said they've given lots and lots of money out to lots of people and lots of different causes and lots of time to help people through business, through whatever it is. So successful people do that. It's almost like they want you to be successful too. I mean, that's how I feel. I would love so many people to find a way to work for themselves, do their own consulting, work from home, whether you have a family or not, to control more of your own time. Hopefully in the future this is going to change anyway, just because computers and machines make it possible that there's no need to work for 40 hours a week. Yet some people are still working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, working two and three jobs at minimum wage instead of finding a way to break out of that. There's a way, and there's so many people that will help you. It comes back to, I guess some people really don't believe me, or they don't have the self-belief to think that someone will seriously make me a website for my business for free, for just taking the time to do that. The opportunities are there, guys. Open your eyes and make sure you're seeing all these opportunities. There are so many people online in this mastermind group I joined that said, hey, if you need help in this arena, let me know. If you need help in this, let me know. I need to go back and take somebody up on that where I will literally pay her to help us with her Facebook ads because she knows so much more than I know and can help just cut through and save time and effort to get things done. So once again, this is a great book. It's very short. I've read it twice. I'll probably read it more than that because it's good. It's a good quick read. And the lessons here are great. So the fifth law of receptivity. The key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. The point is not what you do, not what you accomplish. It's who you are. Let's do a quick review of all five of the laws. And once again, I'm going to have show notes of exactly what I've been saying, or most of what I've been saying here, that you can come to the website, sign up. Basically, give us your name and email. No spamming. I'm a website hosting company. I hate spammers. I doubt even once a week I can send you anything, but they'll get you access to more notes. And you can also ask questions or the other books you want me to review. Let me know. Definitely come opt in for us and be one of the tribe. Those are the five laws of stratospheric success. The law of value, the law of compensation, the law of influence, the law of authenticity, the law of receptivity. So back to the first one, value. Your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Compensation. Your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. Influence. Your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Authenticity. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. Receptivity. The key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. There are five great laws. These authors, once again, Bob Berg and John David Mann, did a great job of wrapping a story around it that's memorable, that you can take to heart, and you can implement. Once again, the key, take these different ideas and go and implement something today. Being authentic, giving something, giving more value, making a difference in somebody's life. This is Kinch with Your Business Podcast. I hope you go out there and read. I, once again, am reading at least a book a week. Some of these books only take an hour or two to read, so I'm able to read several of them. They're great. It's an investment. You're getting a mentor when you're reading a book for next to nothing. Sometimes 99 cents. Sometimes they're free. Sometimes they're 10 bucks. Go out there, read it. Let me know what you think.